Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2431 with the release date of Friday, May 31st, 2024, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Hams in India respond to the region's first major cyclone of the year. The FCC wants input on the recent solar storm, and hams appreciate the power of QRP. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2431 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Wadsworth, Ohio, here's Stephen Kinford, N8WB.
Our top story is the deadly tropical cyclone that left parts of coastal India and Bangladesh devastated. In the middle of it all, hams were there relaying messages nonstop as we hear from John Williams, VK4JJW.
As tropical cyclone Rimal battered India and Bangladesh, a team of 27 amateur radio operators from West Bengal worked around the clock to keep the lines of communications open in a region overtaken by lost power and flooding. By Sunday night, the West Bengal Radio Club responded to requests by local authorities to set up at various strategic locations in and around the Sagar Islands in Sundarbans. Operators used two mobile vans and eight control rooms, communicating on VHF and UHF frequencies. According to updates the amateurs posted on their Facebook page, the van patrolled the coastal areas, reporting back with updates to the control centres. The deadly storm was estimated to have affected millions in the coastal region of the two nations, and the death toll estimates varied, but continued to climb. Authorities rushed to have people evacuated as their homes collapsed around them. At its peak, the storm achieved maximum speeds of between 110 and 120 kilometres an hour, with gusts of as much as 135 kilometres an hour. It was the region's first major cyclone of the year. This is John Williams, VK4JJW.
If you think your shack needs an overhaul, imagine being a legendary pirate broadcaster in the UK. Jeremy Boot, G4NGH, tells us who's got renovation plans in the water on their side of the pond.
Radio Caroline has marked 6 decades of radio off the coast of England and is sailing ahead with its planned restoration of the Ross Revenge, the vessel moored in the Blackwater estuary that the former pirate broadcaster calls home. The fishing trawler-turned-broadcast studio replaced the Mi Amigo, Radio Caroline's previous pirate ship, which sank in a storm in 1980. Radio Caroline first went on the air on the 28th of March 1964, when it was only able to operate from outside British territorial waters. The support group that now runs the station was finally granted an AM broadcast licence from Ofcom in 2017, with a frequency previously used by the BBC. A 3-day anniversary celebration last March provided an open house to listeners and other fans who had come to celebrate its legacy. Organisers hope the anniversary festivities will provide an impetus for fundraising that can cover the cost of a needed overhaul of the Ross Revenge, which was built in 1960. This is Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
A former engineer for Honeywell is suing the company over what he calls the military potential of an antenna design he developed while employed there. We have the details from Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
A Minnesota engineer who developed a composite material to increase antenna efficiency is suing his former employer, which once had widely praised his patented creation as a breakthrough. The design by Christopher Fuller, KD0WMU, facilitates speedier charging of electrical vehicles through the use of considerably smaller antennas. Christopher's antenna design delivers the needed power as electromagnetic energy over long distances and without loss. According to a report on the Star Tribune website, a Honeywell International executive hailed Fuller at the time as being, quote, the inventor of the next multi-industry disruptor, end quote. Acknowledging that his antenna design also held the potential to power military weapons from a distance, Christopher asked the U.S. State Department last year to scrutinize Honeywell's plan to market the technology to overseas commercial customers. According to the Star Tribune story, the engineer worried that Honeywell was potentially overstepping the federal regulations on exporting U.S. military technology and was minimizing the weapons potential aspect of the product. Neither the State Department nor the FBI responded to the Star Tribune's requests for comment. A statement from Honeywell dismissed Christopher's claims as baseless, adding that Honeywell International complies with U.S. export rules and regulations. Christopher quit his job at Honeywell earlier this year, citing intolerable work conditions that follow the inquiries he made to federal officials about the company's overseas plans for the antenna design. He is now suing Honeywell under the state's Whistleblower Act. That law was created to protect workers from suffering consequences of reporting employer conduct that they believe to be unlawful. This is Kent Peterson, KC0, DGY.
If you got on the air or tried to get on the air during the historic G5 solar storm a few weeks ago, you weren't the only one to notice the impact of all those coronal mass ejections. The FCC did too. And the agency wants you to share the details of your experience. Travis Lisk, N3ILS, tells you how.
The HF frequencies experienced wide-ranging disturbances of a solar storm that peaked on the 11th of May, and the Federal Communications Commission is hoping to take a second, and perhaps a third or fourth, look at the impact. The Bureau is looking for comments about disruptions experienced in voice and data communications between the 7th and 11th of May that are believed to be a direct result of the storm. Commenters should submit evidence in the form of electromagnetic spectrum analysis, imagery, or chronological logs along with a description of the impacts. It would also be helpful to include the make and model of the affected communications equipment, everything from transceivers, receivers, transmitters, and switches to routers and amplifiers. The details of the report should also include frequencies affected, the type of antenna and cable, and any relevant observations such as the duration of the disturbance. File your comments no later than June 24th using the Bureau's electronic comment filing system responding to PS Docket Number 24-161. See the link in the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. Submissions will be read by the FCC's Public Safety and Homeland Security Bureau. This is Travis Lisk, N3ILS.
Congratulations to Carlos Alberto Santamaria, CO2JC, the IARU Region 2 Emergency Communications Coordinator. The Meteorological Society of Cuba has presented him with the Carlos Manuel Gonzalez Ramirez Award for his years of work overseeing radio response to hurricanes and earthquakes and coordinating emergency frequency use. The award is named for the popular late TV meteorologist who died last year. The worldwide gathering of radio amateurs in Xenia, Ohio, was a record setter, according to organizers of this year's Hamvention. General Chairman Jim Storms, AB8YK, reported on social media that the official attendance set a new high of 35,877 over the 3 days. That topped last year's attendance of 33,861, which was also a record setter. Jim credited the more than 700 volunteers who worked an average of 6 hours, sometimes more, to ensure that things went smoothly at the Greene County Fairgrounds and Expo Center. Hamvention took place May 17th through May 19th. The dates for Hamvention 2025 are May 16th, 17th, and 18th. CW operators in New Zealand are warming up for winter straight kenite. We have that story from Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
Hams are going back to the roots of CW operating with the help of the New Zealand Morse Code Telegraph Key Directory. On the second Sunday in June, they're dusting off their keys for winter straight kenite, taking place on 80 metres between 8 and 9 p.m. local time. The band is expected to light up with the operators calling SKN or CQSKN. Now, this event isn't about the number of contacts made. It places importance on the quality of the code being sent. The Best Fist Award will be given to the one operator who receives the most nominations from other operators participating in Straight Key Night. The award bears the name of well-known CW operator Bruce Scahill, ZL1BWG, who became a silent key in December of 2022. Neither logs nor summary sheets are necessary, just a willingness to pay tribute to CW as always. This is Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the K8SCH repeater of the Okayun Amateur Radio Society in Cincinnati, Ohio, on Wednesdays at 9 p.m. local time. Newsline has played during the Tech Talk Net for more than 35 years. There are three new inductees into the CQ Amateur Radio Hall of Fame, and one of them is the amateur who had been at the helm of the magazine when he became a silent key in April. We have details and the names of the new Hall of Famers from Jack Parker, W8ISH.
CQ Magazine's former publisher, Dick Ross, K2MGA, who recently became a silent key, has been inducted into three CQ Halls of Fame, the Amateur Radio Hall of Fame, the DX Hall of Fame, and the Contest Hall of Fame. Dick became a silent key in April at age 84 after a lifetime of providing the world's amateurs with relevant news and information through a variety of publications, most notably CQ Magazine itself. Dick is among three amateurs whose names were recently added to the roster of the Amateur Radio Hall of Fame. Hakeem Kraft, DL8HZZ/CT1HZE, and Tim Duffy, K3LR, have also become new inductees. Hakeem has published the globally read English-language amateur radio magazine Dubis, which is devoted to DXing on the 6-meter, 2-meter, and higher bands. For decades, he has widely shared his spatial knowledge on propagation in the VHF, UHF, and microwave bands. The magazine's name is a German acronym borrowed from the Berlin Dubis Group, which issued it as a newsletter. Tim's induction follows his inclusion in the CQ Contest Hall of Fame in 2006. The announcement said that his latest honor was given for, quote, his lifetime achievements that far transcend his contesting accomplishments, end quote. Tim's other awards include the RCA Barry Goldwater Amateur Radio Service Award, which he received in 2010, the Hamvention Amateur of the Year, given to him in 2015, and the ASME Excellence Award, which he received in 2016. This is Jack Parker, W8ISH.
A former scout camp facility outside Joplin, Missouri, that recently became a camping site for a variety of community groups, has just undergone another transformation, this time into a QTH for amateur radio. Randy Sly, W4XJ, tells us how.
The 175 acres comprising Camp Childress has a pool, a climate-controlled dining hall, hiking trails, a trout pond, and now a ham shack. Formerly owned by the Ozark Trails Council of the Scouting Organization, the nonprofit camp welcomes community groups, athletic groups, church groups, and organizations for the disabled. And if any of them have radio amateurs among their ranks, they can enjoy some on-the-air time as well as the great outdoors. The Joplin Amateur Radio Club recently donated radio equipment and a tower to Camp Childress using club funds and a grant from the ARRL. It took no time at all for the station to get camping hams into the spirit. Club President Rex Chambers, WA0UPB, told the Four States homepage that the station's first day on the air added contacts with Florida, Montana, and Portugal to the logbook. In fact, Portugal was the first contact made. Hopefully, the first of many, many more. Good DX, Camp Childress. This is Randy Sly, W4XJ.
What's almost as good as going back to YOTA camp? A reunion among the former YOTA campers in Region 2 who have shared amateur radio adventures and recreational activities at the nonprofit camp for youth between the ages of 15 and 25. They will be joining former campmates at the first YOTA camper reunion taking place in June. This time, no travel plans or hotel reservations will be needed, as this will be a virtual reunion happening over Zoom. Campers are deciding between Saturday, June 8th, Sunday, June 9th, Saturday, June 15th, or Sunday, June 16th via a virtual voting system. Meanwhile, this year's campers are getting ready for the YOTA experience, which will take place in July in Halifax, Nova Scotia. In the world of DX, listen for John, W5JON, operating as W47JA from St. Kitts, IOTA number NA104. Until the 13th of June, he will operate SSB and FT8 on the HF bands and 6 meters. See QRZ.com for QSL details. On the 31st of May through the 2nd of June, listen for call sign GB0HUL, which is on the air to mark more than 100 years of amateur radio around the city of Hull. Operators are from the Hull and District Amateur Radio Society and members of the Humber Fortress Amateur Radio Club. Be listening on the HF bands for SSB, FT4, and FT8. See QRZ.com for more details. Dave, WJ20, is operating on Pitcairn Island, IOTA number OC044, using the call sign VP6DF until the 10th of June. He is operating mainly CW on 40 through 10 meters. Listen for him also on 160 and 80 meters, QSL via N2ZN and LOTW. Members of the Ari Coli Albani, IQ0HV, are on the air as II0LOR until the 30th of June, marking the 80th anniversary of Rome's liberation during the Second World War. QSL via I0KNQ. Certificates will be available. See QRZ.com for details. We end this week with a powerful idea that doesn't really require much power at all. QRP. IARU Region 3 has declared the 17th of June to be QRP Day, a day when hams are being encouraged to amplify their interest and activities in QRP. John Williams, VK4JJW, tells us about it.
In September of 1997, those attending the 10th conference of IARU Region 3 in Beijing took to heart a suggestion that year from the New Zealand Association of Radio Transmitters. NZART argued convincingly in favour of promoting QRP operating more in magazine articles, contests and other activities, and for setting aside one day a year to focus on low-power operating. QRP Day was born, and once again this year, Yuki JH1NBN, Secretary of IARU Region 3, has reminded amateur radio societies and their members that QRP Day draws closer. Not surprisingly, some New Zealand amateurs are already well into the spirit of the day. They've been participating in a Go QRP night on the last Saturday of each month during winter, so they're perhaps more QRV than most. But even first-timers are encouraged to turn down their power and see what kind of magic happens. In a world of superstations and linear amplifiers, a little power can go a long way. This is John Williams, VK4JJW.
Don't forget the Amateur Radio Newsline Haiku Challenge. If you're not too busy tuning your antennas or chasing the latest DX position, pick up a pencil and share your experience by sending an original haiku to us here at Newsline. Use the entry form on our website, airsnewsline.org, and please follow the rules for writing your three-line haiku. Sorry, but we cannot accept any entries that aren't written in traditional haiku form. Share with fellow listeners the poetry that is inspired by your ham radio experience. With thanks to Amateur Radio Weekly, Associated Press, CQ Magazine, David Behar, K7DB, DX World, Facebook, FCC, Four States Homepage, 425, DX News, Hamvention, IARU Region 3, Millennium Post, New Zealand Net News, QRZ.com, Radio Caroline, ShortwaveRadio.de, Star Tribune, Wireless Institute of Australia, YOTA, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind our listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer nonprofit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at airnewsline.org and know that we appreciate you all. We also remind our listeners that if you like our newscast, please leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Stephen Kinford, N8WB in Wadsworth, Ohio, saying 73. As always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2024, all rights reserved.